We are practicing physical distancing in here. I loathe that phrase, social distancing. Just so you know, if you use it around me, you'll see me wince. Because that is the destruction of what God has created humanity for. He has not created us for social distancing. Whoever created that phrase, I know they had good intention. But God created people to be together in community and work together one-on-one. Now, I know we have to stay separate. Physical distancing, okay. Social isolation, not good for anyone. And so let's continue to work together to get through this. And I'll tell you right now, I feel so much better in here this morning because on both sides of the front here, I've got some people that haven't been here. Cheryl told me it was 4 months since the Vendettis have sat in that seat over there. So I feel good. I'm covered at this side. And over here, Miss Pamela Wentworth. Come on, we got to give it up for these people in the house. And for all of you that have come out, maybe this is your first time. We're so grateful that you're here this morning. All of you that are watching at home this morning, we're grateful for you as well. And we're glad that God is with you and he's helping you. And you have to make those decisions as you are comfortable to make them. And we honor and we respect that with you as well this morning. If you haven't done so already, would you share this? If you're at home, if you're watching Facebook Live, or if you're watching live on YouTube this morning, you can just subscribe to the City Church's page. But if you'll share this, it's just like inviting other people to come to church with you. I also want to remind everybody our food pantry is open every Thursday and Saturday. It has been. It continues to be. Thursdays from 11 to 1, Saturday 10 to noon. It's right across the parking lot in our Generation Center. And then this Wednesday again, we did one last Wednesday, a food distribution with Food Link. It was amazing. The tractor trailers started pulling in at, I don't know, 7:45 in the morning and unloading, you know, just pallets and pallets of food. And there were cars lined right up down the street on Liberty Street at 7:30 in the morning. It was powerful. And we were able to give everybody food that day. I think when we got done, we had 5 bags of lettuce left over. Did you get those delivered okay, Melissa? Good. Somebody took them, and Melissa, she took them and handed them out to people that could use it. So this week, again, Wednesday, starts at 9 o'clock. If you want to volunteer, if you want to help, show up at 8 o'clock, and we'll give you a part to make all that happen. Remember, all of our small groups are happening throughout the week as well. You can find those on our Facebook page or go to our website. And all of you, whether no matter where you are, click on that Zoom meeting and you will be a part of that group. It's just been a blessing through this season. Lord, thank you for your love today. Thank you for your purpose and your plan for every life. Thank you for those that are here, those that are watching, those that will watch later. I pray your blessing over their lives, their families, and the ones that they love. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, I hope you had a great day yesterday. I hope you've got some great things planned for the weekend. If you're watching at home, if you're camping or you're away, if you're on a beach somewhere, I want you to send me a picture. Send a picture of that beach because, full disclosure, I envy you right now today. We love the beach. But I hope you've had a great weekend. I hope you've enjoyed all the blessings that come with the ability that we have to live in one of the greatest nations, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I want to share I was reminded of this story. I love this story. I'm MacDonald. That's M-A-C, not M-C. M-C is, if you hear a MacDonald and it's spelled with an M-C, that's an Irishman. M-A-C is a Scot, and I am M-A-C, so I'm a Scot. And if you saw the movie Braveheart, you know the story about the Scottish patriot by the name of William Wallace. I was at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, and during that time I was there was a breakout session for pastors to go into. And I think that day there might have been 100 pastors in there from all over the world. And Rick Warren was the moderator of that group. And he said, I want you to say hi to somebody next to you. I don't want you to get into anything about your church or, you know, anything about that. I want to tell them something personal about you. And so I turned to the gentleman next to me and I told him about myself, family, wife, where I lived. And he told me that he and his family purchased the house that William Wallace lived in and have spent the last 30-plus years of their life renovating it, bringing it back to its original era that when he lived it. And I thought that was so amazing. And I never forgot that moment in my life when I met that man and he told me that story. But in this movie, reverts back to around in the 1300s when William Wallace, he prepares a band of rebels for battle against the English. And they faced a much larger army than what they had. And he says to his men, and he says, I am William Wallace, and I see before me an army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You have come to fight as free men, and free men you are. You are free, free from the badges, free from the flesh, and free to love. This is what he says, and what will you do with that freedom? He said, will you fight? And a tall soldier near the front eyes the huge opposing forces arrayed around the valley, and he answers, fight against that? No. We will run, and we will live. And Wallace replies, and I can hear it, how it was portrayed. He says, I fight and you may die. How am I doing with my Scottish right now? Patty says, good. Run and you will live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, you would be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance. Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they can't take our freedom. And so the question that I ask you today, this is not a political message in any way, and I'm going to get to the word of the Lord in here in just a moment. What will you do with the freedom that has been given to you? What will you do with the freedom? And what a question to ask ourselves over an incredible July weekend, a weekend fixed in the middle of the summer when the weather has just been spectacular. Many are thinking of picnics and fun and celebrate the freedom that so many have paid an incredible price for you and I. And agree with it or not, the very fact that everyone has the right to their opinion and can voice it says that we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Because in many countries, if you voiced your opinion, you would be heard of no more. Filled with flaws, mistakes, and many injustices, still the greatest nation. And as a nation, again, we find ourselves in this moment in history when it seemed just a short time ago we were talking about innocent men and women being gunned down in schools and in churches to this point in our lives now when the innocent can't even, in many cases, we don't know when they'll even go back into a school. And many are still afraid, not because of a gunman, but because of a virus, to even to stay out of the church. And we make a tragic mistake when we separate God from our freedom. You see, I was born in this country, lower, not middle class, lower class, lived in a difficult neighborhood in a difficult time. And although people were saying, you're free, you live in freedom, you live in America, it's free, in my life I wasn't free. And I'm speaking to people today that you're living in this country, maybe you're listening somewhere else, and in your country it's not like in our freedom. It's not like in our country that has freedom. I did not know what freedom, real freedom was until Christ became a part of my life and who I was. And what will you do is still the question with that freedom. Few nations have ever known our liberties, that we can gather to worship, that we have the opportunity to vote. We vote for everybody. But real freedom is not doing whatever you want and everything you want. Real freedom lasts a small moment when there is no self-control. Listen to this, and if you've studied history at all, you'll remember this. Historian Alexander Teitler conducted a survey on ancient democracies, and he wrote, "The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. Ours is 244 this weekend. These nations have progressed through the following sequence. Listen to this. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, liberty to abundance, abundance to selfishness, selfishness to complacency, complacency to apathy, apathy to dependency, dependency and back to bondage." And these democracies didn't fall because somebody attacked them. They crumbled from within. And my brothers and sisters, true liberty that you and I need in our lives does not come from a political system. But true liberty is found in Christ. And you and I can have that and experience that today and from here on. Paul says to you and I, and I want to remind you that he speaks to the Galatians. He says this in Galatians 5:1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Bible says that Christ has made you and I free, not ourselves. You are not saved by your own strength. You cannot develop liberty in your own. True liberty, true freedom is through the salvation of the gift of a living God who loved us so much. He came into the world and he died for you and I. He took your sin upon himself. He took your failures upon himself. And he went to the cross so that you and I can be free. And Paul also makes it emphatic. He uses the phrase, the liberty. Some people look for freedom today and they think whatever they want to do and never denying any desire. We live in a culture that is demanding that it has a right to this and it has a right to that. And can I remind every one of us, and especially if you're in my generation, when I grew up, we didn't have a right to nothing. And I know that goes cross-cultural against many things. People say we have a right to health care. We have a right to this and right to that. We have a privilege, my brothers and sisters, to those things. We have a right to nothing. We are gifted by God to receive the kindness and the love that he gives for us. But the Bible says, what will you do with this freedom that you have been given? Because this kind of liberty, it's not the liberty and the freedom that Jesus brings to us. The Bible says the liberty that we have is the freedom of the tyranny of trying to own or earn our own way to salvation, trying to deal with our own sin and guilt and condemnation. This liberty gives us a freedom from the penalty and the power of sin in our lives. And come on, aren't you glad for that today? And Paul said, you have to stand fast in that. There comes a moment, in my brothers and my sisters, that you have to take a stand for what you believe in Christ, in Jesus. If it's not in this, if it's something that somebody is just making up to make you and I feel better, it's not going to last. But whatever is in this book, my brothers and sisters, will go down in history. It'll last forever. I ought to get a one amen in this house this morning over that. The great evangelist D.L. Moody, he illustrated this point. He quoted a old former slave woman in the South following the Civil War. She said, being a former slave, she was confused about her status. And she asked, am I free or am I not? She said, when I go to my master, he says, I ain't free. When I go to my own people, they say I am, and I don't know whether I'm free or not. Some people told me that Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation, but my master says he didn't. He didn't have any right to. And many Christians today, you're confused at the same point that Jesus Christ has given you and I freedom, but we still live bound as slaves in our lives. And we live in bondage because our old master has deceived us and tried to tell us, you are not free. But can I tell you, my friends today, my brothers and my sisters, if you have made Christ the Lord and the master of your life, he has set you free. And the Bible says, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. He is free indeed. And even if somebody has told you, oh, you'll never change. If I had a nickel for every time somebody had told that after I gave my life to Christ because of the family I come from. They knew where I came from. They knew the home that I grew up in. They knew who my father was. They said he was this way, his father was that way, and you're going to be the same way. I'll never forget a lady telling me that one time. A second aunt to my wife. My girlfriend, Patty, who's my wife, she took me up. She was so proud. She wanted to introduce me to the second aunt, her handsome boyfriend, good looking, strong, debonair, gifted, smart, talented, articulate. And I go up there and the lady says, oh, you're McDonald? I knew your father and his father. They were nothing but losers and drunks and failures, and so won't you. Wow. I wanted to say to her right then, what an introduction. But can I tell you today that you are free? And what will you do with the freedom? Are you going to let somebody else tell you what you're not? Or are you going to embrace what the Word of God says you are and begin to live like you are free men and you are free women? Come on, if you're going to clap in the house, even if we're small in number, come on, make it happen today. And Paul refers in the Scripture as a yoke of bondage, not just any kind of yoke, but a yoke that is connected to bondage. And it was used usually with two oxen. It would be placed over their neck, and it would pull a plow or a cart or something, and day in and day out, pulling that and trudging through life. And Paul said, don't you allow that yoke to go around your neck and hold you down anymore. My brothers and sisters, Jesus has come to set you free from the bondage that you don't have to. Even as Pastor Ryan was saying, and he and I didn't talk about this one minute, you don't have to be the way you used to be. You can be who God has called you to be and never go back to that old man ever again. Never go back to the old pleasures, to the old selfishness, to the old wants. A bondage to anger, a bondage to hatred, a bondage to unforgiveness, a bondage to religion. But Jesus says this to you and I in Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. You want to know what that yoke is connected to? He said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden, it is light. And he says his yoke is one of gentleness, one of humility, one of kindness. And let me just insert this. If you're going through a phase in your life where you're just miserable and you're just harsh and hard to get along with, you need to disconnect from the old yoke and you need to connect to the yoke that Jesus has called you to be connected with. Because he'll make you gentle and peaceable. He'll make you crumble like butter on a hot day. He calls you to be kind and loving and peaceable. Calls you to want to be a giver and a lover. He said he's one of gentleness. He's lowly of heart. And I wonder if Jesus used this description of taking another yoke. Because we're just so used to having something to tell us and to lead us. And that's okay. But Jesus says you got to let go of the old and put on the new. He said, take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. And I wonder if he did that because he knows our demeanor and our propensities. That we just feel comfortable. We got to have that. When you are yoked to him, it's no longer you any longer. It's just trying to push through. And oh, you wake up day in and day out. Oh, my gosh, another day. How am I going to get through this? But when you are yoked to him, you are yoked to gentleness. You are yoked to the Prince of Peace. You are yoked to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the light. He is the life. He is the light of men. The Bible says in Psalm 118:22, he's the chief cornerstone. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he's our deliverer. In Revelation 19:11, he is faithful and true. In John 10:11, he says he is the good shepherd. And when you're connected and yoked to him, you got those attributes happening in your life. In Hebrews 4:14, he says he's the great priest. Ephesians 1:22, he is the head of the church. I always tell the Lord when I feel in a tight spot or something that's going on, I don't know how to handle that. I say, Lord, it's not mine. I am not, and I want everybody to know, those of you that are watching live that are here, I am not in charge here. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:22, he put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. John 8:58 says, I am. Isaiah 7:14 says he's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the indescribable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15, King of Kings in Revelation 17:14, Lamb of God in John 1:29. He is the light of the world in John 8:12. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelations 5 and verse 5. He is the mediator in 1 Timothy 2:5, Mighty One in Isaiah 60 verse 16. He is the one who sets you and I free in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Come on, give God praise for that this morning. And so it comes back to the question, what will you do with the freedom? You're just going to walk around with a big thing around your neck and a bumper sticker on your car and something hanging on your mirror? I'm free. What will you do with the freedom? And you see, Paul tells the Galatians again, down a few verses from that, and in verse 13 and 14, he said, brethren, you've been called to liberty. Not only do you use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, don't do it anymore. I am so tired of hearing people say, well, God has set me free and I can act and do whatever I want. Really? He said, don't use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Boy, I paused on that this week. I've served a lot of things and a lot of people in my life, but sometimes I didn't do it with love. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you found the difference between somebody serving you because they love doing what they're doing and somebody just slamming the food down and just walking off? And you say, whoa, I'm sorry, I messed up your day right now. And Paul says, serve one another with love. See, this is what you do with liberty. You don't demand your own way. You don't say, I've got this coming to me, that's my right. You're a servant. Not because you have to, because you want to, because you love to, because you love people. He said, through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And my brothers and my sisters, we're living in a season in our culture where brother is fighting against brother. I'm not talking about people that don't know God. I'm talking about people that claim to know Jesus that are fighting over ideologies and beliefs that they have and that they think they are right. And God said, that is not my best for you. That if you're going to live in freedom, you're going to serve others with love. And serving through love takes us to another level. I'm going to close with a scripture. No greater scripture defines what serving with love is than this. In John 13:3, because Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, Verse 5, he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that he had wrapped around himself. In the night in which he would be betrayed, he would face the most gruesome cross the next day. Jesus doesn't say, I have a right. The Bible says in Matthew 26:53 that he could have called 12 legions, 80,000 angels, but yet not out of obligation. He served through love. What will you do with your freedom? Demand, this is the way it's going to be? Or serve through love? Matthew 20, verse 26, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Got to serve through love. What will you do with your liberty? You got to take off the old bondage. And some of my brothers and my sisters, some of you, you love God. You want to serve Him. But you got this thing that's just hanging in front of you all the time. You're connected too much. I'd just go ahead and say it. You're connected too much to opinions and news and all this stuff. And you forgot that what God has called you to do is serve in love. Serve in love. You got to let some of that go. You got to get rid of it. You got to quit it. Some of you have been dealing with addictions. A great season of your life to let it go. Some of you are just... One guy told me, what's so-and-so like? They said, he's even-tempered. He's mad all the time. Know anybody like that? Mad all the time? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Because I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I called him yesterday and asked him if I could say this. When Chris Busniak was serving time in jail, he used to wrap a white T-shirt around his head, around his eyes, as like a blindfold so the light wouldn't bother him at night. And after he was out of jail and working together with me in the ministry, and I don't even know how it came up one day, he told me that he still was doing that. And it struck my heart so much. And I remember that moment having a conversation that if God has set you free, take that thing off. You're not in jail anymore. He didn't like that when I said that at first. Where are you, Chrissy? Wave at me right over there. But he took it off. First night, a little tough. Second night, not as bad. Third, fourth night, free. Free. You got to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free. You're just not going to blink your eyes and say, okay, here I am. No, it's first day, a little change. Yep. You hadn't been going down that same pathway for so long. And then you start a new direction. You say, wait a minute. This is different. I'm not used to that. He wants to set you free today. Man, I feel God just pulling on my heart today, maybe for somebody right in this house today. Just close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to close one moment here. I want to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that today. I don't care who you are. Man, woman, boy, girl. This isn't a religious experience. This is a experience that will transform who you are as a person. Liberty. Say it with me. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my faults, failures. Be the Lord and master of my life. Lord, I also pray for that one today that keeps on going back to what you have set them free from.
liberate them, I pray today. Let them know real liberty, I pray today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, everybody said a big amen. Wow, hasn't it been great to be together in God's house today? It's beautiful. So glad to see every one of you. So glad for those of you that are hanging out with us at home or wherever you are today. Listen, if you want to give, go to our website, thecitychurch.com. You can text thecitychurchny to 77977. Use the PushPay app. Send it in the mail, City Church, 210 East Main Street, Batavia, New York, 14020. Those of you who are in here, as Aaron said, there's two boxes at the back of the sanctuary. So many things have changed. Don't take an offering anymore. Don't hand out an envelope. Not supposed to shake hands, hug. That's a little harder for some of us, I know. But we're getting through it. We're getting on the other side of it. And Lord, we pray today for the end of COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. As fast as it came, let it go. Let it go from our cities, from our nation, from our world in the name of Jesus. And I pray for every evil force that is behind it, that you will stop it in its tracks now and bring hope and liberty to each and every person. We pray for our young people, our children, God, that have missed so much school. We pray that this will happen. There will be an amazing turnaround before school starts again so they can have that sense of life back to them again. We ask it all today in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace today. See you real soon.